Okay, so the everyone has tour sheets? Yeah. Okay, so the theme I wanted to pick up this week, which comes up here, comes up in other places, but as we're now a few weeks before Pesach, I figure now is a good time to pick it up. Is throughout Tanakh the question of what the role was of Mitzrayim in our collective memory for the purpose of mitzvot, or another way of asking it, which is the way I put it on the title of this year, which is really just a way of giving it away, which was why was slavery part of the plan, right? We find out all the way at the beginning of the Torah, before anything's happened, that we're going to be slaves somewhere. Not necessarily Mitzrayim, but Avram is told by Hashem that your children will be a ger somewhere, and they will be oppressed somewhere, and I'll have to judge them, and then they'll get out of it. So, in one way or another, slavery, or oppression at least, or some sort of suffering, was inherent to the Jewish experience. It was necessary to be Jews. And the question is really why, right? Why was that part of the plan? Now we discussed, I think maybe last year, the question of whether Mitzrayim per se was part of the plan or not. There, from the Brit Ben Avitarim, there's no reason to assume it had to be Mitzrayim. It could have been anything. It could have been, right? The Salvechik argued it could have been Yaakov, right? Yaakov's time in Laban's house is a perfect microcosm of the Mitzrayim story, right? He leaves in the 21st year, which is 1/10 of how long the Jews are in Mitzrayim. He is a slave there. He's oppressed multiple times. He leaves with great wealth. He leaves after the fourth generation from the Brit Ben Avitarim, right? The Jews leave fourth generation in Mitzrayim. He's the fourth generation from the Brit Ben Avitarim because only leaves after Yosef is born. He's chased by Lavan on the way out for 6 days, and they meet up on the seventh day, which is the same thing as happens on the way out of Mitzrayim, where they are chased by Paro for six, after 6 days, and on the seventh day have Kriyat Yamsuf. Right, so there are a lot of parallels. It could have been that the bris was fulfilled in other ways, but either way, the notion that there's some sort of oppression, some sort of servitude in the Jewish experience seems to be definitional. And the question is why? So to understand that, what we need to do is really see two things, which is one is the way Mitzrayim is used, or the memory of Mitzrayim is used in mitzvot, and then the other is not just used in mitzvot, but also when it's invoked, just in the Jewish consciousness. So we have an example right here in Kedoshim, which is just a few psukim after where we got up to last week. So you go into Perek Yotet Pasuk Lamed Gimel. So we hear, a very simple, straightforward mitzvah that connects to Mitzrayim. V'chi agur itcha ger bartzachem lo tonu oto. When you have a ger, and we'll come in a moment to what that means, but when you have a ger in your land, don't oppress him. Ke'ezrach mikem yelochem, just like a citizen. Right? Ger, let's for the moment translate it loosely as immigrant, or stranger. He should be like a citizen. Hager hagar itchem. V'avtalo kamocha, and you should love him like yourself. Ki geirim heitem be'eretz Mitzrayim, ani Hashem Elokeichem, because you were geirim, you were strangers in Mitzrayim, and I am Hashem your God. And it makes it clear that part of the mitzvah. Now you could read this in different ways, right? Is the pasuk simply saying, be kind to strangers because you were once strangers, and that's the only justification? I doubt it, right? I assume that even someone who had never been a slave or a stranger should also be nice to strangers. I assume more likely it's not, a justification as much as it is a contextualization. It's why it is, right? It's not just, you should be nice. You understand what it's like to be a stranger. You went through it, and that should sensitize you. That should help you develop empathy so you really understand what people go through when they are strangers in a foreign land. And therefore, you should be nice to this stranger. And you find many mitzvot like this, where the implication seems to be that the experience of Mitzrayim was helpful, and perhaps, based on the fact that Brit Ben Avitarim, we knew we would go into slavery, was necessary to develop our national character to be the right type of people to be, right, God's nation. And you find this in many places. So I collected a bunch of them on the source sheet. So, in Shmot, Perek Chav Bet, in Parashat Mishpatim, you get again, V'ger lo toneh, Velo tilchatzenu, right? Don't oppress the stranger and don't pressure him. Ki geirim hayitem v'eretz Mitzrayim, again, because you were geirim in Mitzrayim. In Perichov Gimel, you get it again. V'ger lo tilchatz, don't pressure, don't cause stress for the stranger. V'atem yidatem et nefesh hager, because you understand his soul. Ki geirim hayitem v'eretz Mitzrayim, because you were geirim in Mitzrayim. Again, Vayikra, right, Vayikra Yotet, this is what we just read. I just put it on the source sheet, right? V'chei agorit hager b'artachem lo tenu ato, kezrach mikem yelochem. Hagera garitichem v'havta lo kamocho gerim etem v'eretz Mitzrayim ani Hashem elokeichem. But you don't just get it in the context of right, these mitzvah. Right? These mitzvah are very minimal. Right? It's when you have a ger, be nice to the ger because you were a ger. Right? That's, you know, okay, fine. But that doesn't tell you to go out of your way to find gerim, to be nice to them. It's just when you're interacting with them, so be nice to them. But it appears in other places as well. So, for example, number four, and we'll come back to this next week when we discuss the Yom Tovim as they're presented in Torah. But in Dvarim, when we're discussing the Chagim, so there you hear v'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. So on the Yom Tovim, you will rejoice before God. Atav mincha v'techa avdecha v'amatcha v'halevi asher b'sharecha. You and your child and your servants and your maidservants and the Levi. V'hager v'yatom v'almana asher b'kirbecha, and the stranger, the orphan and the widow who's with you, in the place which God has chosen to dwell, have his name dwell there, and you will remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you'll keep these mitzvot. So you learn that it's not just, you know, it appears not just in the context of how should you treat a ger. It's how you treat the ger or anybody who is unfortunate, right? Like Levim are, you know, the religious class. They're the priestly class. They're not, but they tend to be less wealthy because they don't have land in Israel. So the Levi, the ger, the orphan, the widow, all the people who are likely poor, likely not at the, are on the margins of society. When it comes to Yom Tov, the Torah throws in, by the way, you should remember them, because you understand what it's like to be disenfranchised, to be a slave, and therefore when you're celebrating, right, that's when people feel the most lonely, right? When everyone else is all happy with their family around them, and they, you know, got their pre-holiday bonuses, or, you know, and they can afford to have a big, fancy holiday meal and presents, you know, the people who are struggling, you know, to make ends meet normally, and then they have their, you know, hit with, you know, a $500 bill just for shmura matzah and grape juice and, you know, whatever, right? And they have no money for afikomen presents and, you know, and things like that, right? It's not just enough to say, well, I won't wrong them, right? The Torah tells you when Yom Tov comes, because you know what it's like to be on the margins of society, go out of your way to, right, to include them in your simcha. The way the Rambam says it, I didn't put the Rambam here, but the way the Rambam says it, and if you don't, right, if you just rejoice with your family and you don't help people who can't celebrate by themselves, he says, Ein ze is simchas mitzvah, ela simchas kreso. It's not the joy of the mitzvah, it's the joy of your stomach. Right? If you don't understand, right, if you don't look beyond yourself when you're celebrating, so then right, you haven't elevated the mitzvah. And in number five, the same thing is true, not just of Yom Tov, the same thing is true of Shabbos. The Yom HaShvi'i Shabbos Hashem Elokecha, the seventh day is Shabbos for Hashem your God, Kol Melacha, Atah Uvincha V'Itecha Avdecha V'Amatcha V'Sharcha V'Chamarcha V'Chor B'Emtecha V'Gercha Asher B'Sharecha. Right? It's a day of rest for you and your children, your slaves, and your animals, and the strangers. L'man Yanuach Avdecha V'Amatcha Kamocha, so that your slaves will be able to rest with you. V'Zacharta, Ki Eved Hayita Eretz Mitzrayim V'Yotziacha Hashem Elokecha Misham B'Yad Chazakra V'Zrona Tuyah. And you'll remember that God took you out of Mitzrayim with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Al Kain, because of that, and now the Torah gives you a little bit more framing, and here it really is more the justification one, right? Is Al Kain, Sivcha Hashem Elokecha, L'Asot Yom HaShabbat, because he took you out of Mitzrayim, he commands you to keep Shabbos. But not just Shabbos, to keep Shabbos in this way. Right? He has that right. He said, look, you used to be a slave, you used to be oppressed, and therefore, when I tell you, take a day off, and don't just take a day off, you know, yourself, It's very easy to tell people who are wealthy enough to have slaves, you take a day off once a week. Great, I'll take a day off. How do I take a day off? I'll take a day off because my slaves won't take a day off, right? They'll work harder because I'm home. I need help. So no, everyone needs to take, right? You need to allow them to rest, right? You don't say, look, I can take a day off from my store or from working in the field because I have, you know, farmhands who are doing it for me. I'm making money. Money's going to the bank whether or not I'm there. So big deal. No, because I took you out of Egypt and I took you out of that situation, I can tell you that you have to give your servants a day off. Number six, even when someone is poor and needs to sell himself to you as a slave, the Torah tells you that the way you treat the slave has to be framed by your experience in Mitzrayim. V'chiyamuch achicha imach, when your brother is poor, v'nimkarlach, and he's sold to you, lo ta'avod bo avodat aved. Don't treat him like a slave, right? Don't let him work like a slave. Why? Ki avadayhem, because even your slave, it's not really your slave, he's my slave, and so are you. Asher otzeiti otam eretz Mitzrayim. Well, I took out of Mitzrayim, lo yimachrum karet aved. So he can't really be sold as a slave. And then if it weren't clear enough, the connection to Mitzrayim, here it doesn't say, right, remember Mitzrayim, it says, lo tir devbo vifarech. Right, don't work him hard, right, with backbreaking labor. V'yareita me'elokecha, and fear God. And Nechama Levitch points out that that's a clear reference to number seven. Right, the description of how the Jews were enslaved in Egypt. That Mitzrayim forced the Jews to work, including Bifarech. She said, even though here it doesn't say remember Mitzrayim, it's clear that what it's doing is remember how you were treated, do not treat, even if you have a slave, right? Don't treat your slave the way you were treated in Egypt, because that wasn't a way you should be treated. So when you combine the Brit Ben HaMetarim, in which Avram is promised that your children will be slaves, and then you see that both in simply the context of treating Gerim well, but also in the context of Yom Tov and in Shabbos, and the context of owning a slave, the Torah brings up this notion over and over. Remember you were a slave in Mitzrayim. Remember you were a slave in Mitzrayim. You know how to treat them. You know what they're experiencing. Use that, incorporate that into your experience. The feeling you get very strongly is that that was on purpose, that God wanted us to be able to be sensitized to people who were on the margins of society, so he made us spend nationally several hundred years as, you know, slaves on the margins of society so we could inculcate that sensitivity into our national identity. Now, and Nechama Levitch points out that this is in contrast to, if you look at number 8 in Eov, when Eov is complaining about suffering, he says, "Im emas mishpat avdi v'amati birivam imadi." Right? If I, if I acted unjustly, really, with the judgment of my slave and my servant, halo babetem oseini aso achone berechem echad. He said, "How could I treat them unfairly? We were all made right in the same womb, and we're all human beings." Right, she said, you can develop sensitivity, right? Eov has sensitivity to his slaves because, oh, we're all human beings, right? But she says, this seems to be going farther, right? It's saying, yes, you know, people can, if they're, you know, righteous enough people like Eov, they can realize that they shouldn't treat their slaves badly, they shouldn't treat them unjustly because we're all human beings. But she said, it's clear that that's not enough. Because that's why, otherwise the Torah would have said, okay, just recognize you're all human beings. It's no, you actually want to experience what it's like not just to be another human being, right? You can understand that intellectually. He's a human being, I'm a human being, I shouldn't treat him wrongly. But to really internalize that being at the margin of society is difficult, that's something that, you know, takes experience, takes empathy. You know, there's a reason that people who've gone through very difficult experiences in their childhood become successful psychologists or therapists when they're older, because they know how to, you know, they know how to deal with it. They can, you know, and there's a reason, even not professionally, there's a reason that, you know, when someone loses a parent for the first time, they talk, you know, if they're having trouble dealing with it, they talk to someone who's already lost a parent, because if you've gone through an experience, right, and this is, you know, this is, and the more difficult the experience, the more this is true, right? People who lose children, right, often go. And I have a cousin who lost a child at a few months. He wrote a book of his experience, and he said he often gets calls from other people who just found his book, you know, when they were looking. I actually have two cousins who did that. But, you know, and a lot of people will write books. Why? Just because they want to share the experience, that someone knows that I understand you. Okay, now, who is this gear, though? Right, this gear that comes up over and over. So who is the gear? So, halachically, we normally speak about all these mitzvot, latono and ager, as a convert, right, as a convert. But in Pshat and the Psukim, that's not what it is, right? If you look at the Peirush of Avraham ben Arambam on the Torah, I didn't put it, it's not Bar Ilan, but I'll show another source that does. Avraham ben Arambam says that the simple understanding of ger and all of them, b'haftim et ager, latono et ager, means a stranger, an immigrant, right? Because if you look how it's contrasted to an ezrach. An ezrach is a born citizen, and a ger, therefore, is the opposite of a born citizen, meaning a non-citizen or a not-yet citizen. It means any stranger, right? Because it's not just about converts, it's about anybody who joins a community that isn't naturally part of the community. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch points this out, not on a halachic level, but a shorish ha-mitzvah level, right? He writes like this. This is on the mitzvah of loving gerim. He says, Mishorshei ha-mitzvah, Ki Hashem bachar b'Yisrael yot lo am kadosh v'rasala zakotam. God chose the Jewish people to be his holy nation. He wanted to give them, credit, give them, you know, want them to be righteous. L'chein hidricham v'tzivam al derkeh chanina v'chamla. So he told them, you should be kind, you should be caring. V'hizhiram l'hit'ater b'chol midah chamuda. And he told all the Jews to crown themselves with good midot. Right, every precious midah, l'mtzochein v'nei kol ro'ehem, so they could find favor in the eyes of all who see them. V'yomru am Hashem elah. So everyone would look at them and say, this is the nation of God. And how pleasant is it to be able to be kind to someone who left his nation, and come to join another nation because of his love for that nation, that religion, and by loving truth, and hating falsehood, and tovot halalu. I actually left off the important line. But in the next line, what he says is that that's the halacha. The halacha is that this applies to gerim. He says, but in addition, the spirit of the law applies to any stranger, anyone who's not in his place. But if you look at the Chafetz Chaim in number 10, the Chafetz Chaim says no. He says, mitzvah aseh lehorov et ager, shneimar v'haftim en ager. V'zoi mitzvah nosefet al haftal reicha kamocha, right? It's even more than al haftal reicha kamocha, shereger hu gamken b'chal Yisrael. It's an extra mitzvah. Now, why is it an extra mitzvah? So I'll just give one shot, which I happen to like. And if you look in the Akedat Yitzchak, of Yitzchak Rama, he says, why is there a separate mitzvah to love Gerim? He said, because very simple. Let's say, you know, you have somebody who is fully socially adjusted, and, you know, you're having a bad day, right? So you know, they run into you, and you're clearly harried and rushed and, you know, tired, and you have bags under your eyes, and, you know, you give them a gruff good morning and just walk by. So the person will just say, they woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and that'll be it, right? But if somebody is particularly sensitive, right, and feels like nobody wants them as part of their group, and then someone gives them a gruff good morning, they're not going to assume, oh, you're giving me a gruff good morning because you had a bad day. They're going to assume it's because, you know, you're not really friends with them, right? It may not be true, but the point is that people who are not part of the in-group, when someone acts to them in a way that, you know, a normal person could shake off, they can't shake it off. They just assume that you said a warm good morning to everybody else, or they suspect it in their minds. So the Akedat Yitzchak says, yeah, the reason you need a separate mitzvah is because it's not just enough to be normal. It's to go out of your way to be nice, to make sure that they don't start thinking, oh, they're not being, you know, nice because they don't like me, rather than, because they're not going to think in their mind, oh, you know, they really like me, but they woke up the wrong side of the bed. A person who's fully socially adjusted knows that they have friends, they can shake things off, right? People, you know, it's like the person who, you think of a sports game, right? Pickup sports game is always like the example, right? If someone knows they're not good at sports, right, and then they ask to join a game, so you may be full, right? But if you don't say, no, I'm full, like really don't have it, or, you know, we're full, but, you know, why don't you come to the game because maybe someone will cancel, and make it clear that you want them, you just, you know, you just don't have space, they're going to assume you don't want them because they're bad on the team and you're lying to them. And, you know, if someone's a great player, everyone wants them, they're the best player on the team, and they call and say, oh, can I join the pickup game? And you say, no, we're full, right? They'll realize, hey, you're really full, right? People who are usually left out assume that whenever they're left out, it's because you wanted to leave them out, not because, you know, of a good reason. So that's why you need a separate mitzvah. And then he asks, God loves the ger. And who is a ger? It's not a convert. Who sheba me'eretz acheret umeid umeir acheret lagori tanu umikol sheken ger shen gayer. He said, Chazal never meant to tell you that a ger means only a convert. It means anyone who's not in their, right, in their city, in their home, in their social group. Who's the paradigm? A convert, because he's left his religion, his culture, his family, he's left everything. But that's not to the exclusion of everybody else. It means everybody, anybody, an immigrant. It means, right, you know, there's a tshuva by, I said this once in shul, and then immediately some people asked me to email it to them so they could hold it. Right, there's a tshuva by Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein where he says, yeah, you know who is clearly out of place? He said, you ever go to shul and someone's in from out of town and he sits in somebody's seat and they say, that's my seat? He said, that is an Isser Daraisa of Lotonu et Ager, because it is so uncomfortable being not in your shul where they're really, really obsessive about seats. And when someone kicks you out of their seat, you feel terrible. He said, that's an Isser Daraisa. Look at what the Chafetz Chaim said. Anyone who's not at home, right? Even you could be the most popular person at home. The second you walk into a strange shul and people start saying, no, that's his seat, that, right? You just feel uncomfortable, right? And he said, that's an Isser Daraisa. We know Malcolm calls man the scholar of the cave, and this is true of everybody. So the first level to Mitzrayim, and why we had to go with Mitzrayim, is this ethical component to it, that we needed to be sensitized to really understand what it means to be in the outskirts of society. Because like I said, and I think Rav Yitzchak Arama's point really makes it clear, it's not just enough to be nice, right? If you've been in a situation where you have been on the margin of the social group, then you understand that you really need people to go out of their way, right? Not just, you know, not be mean, right? If you've ever moved into a city where you don't know anybody and you understand how hard it is the next time someone else moves in. It's the reason when you make Aliyah, right, the Israelis are nice, right? The born Israelis are nice to you. They are. They say, hello, welcome, mazel tov on your Aliyah. The Olim come and say, oh, you probably didn't realize, you know, remember to get, you know, the pre-ripped toilet paper before Shabbos, you know, and bring it. And they come and say, oh, you know, you're going, you know, do you know how to use the, you know, the Israeli Shabbos timers that control the whole apartment, right? When we, you know, first got to Olam Shvuot, the Americans all came in, right? Because they had been through the experience. They know how hard it is to be in a new country with new, you know, and then they give you the advice on how to deal with the government offices. Someone could be the nicest person in the world. If they haven't gone through the experience, they don't know what you need, right? But that's what Mitzrayim was. We had to go through the experience nationally to know, right, to be able to anticipate what people would need, right, to remember on Yom Tov to actively include people who are not comfortable. So that's one level. But it's not just on the, shall we say, moral level. It's also on the theological level. And this appears from a phrase that appears several times in the Torah called Kor HaBarzel. The Torah describes the experience of Mizraim as the Kor HaBarzel, as the smelting furnace, where you purify iron, where you purify metal. Now, what does it mean, right? And what are the implications of it? So if we just trace where it appears in Torah, so you look at number 11, in Devarim, it's summarizing the experience of Har Sinai. So the Pesukim can say as follows, V'tikravun v'tamdun tachar ahar. You came and you stood beneath the mountain, Baharbo Erbaish and the mountain, Har Sinai was burning in fire. Ad Leva Shamaim until heaven. Choshech, Anan Varafel, darkness, clouds, fog. Vaidaber Hashem Aleichem, Mitocha Esh, Kol Dvarim Atem Shomim, Utumunain, Enchem Roim Zulati Kol. And God spoke to you, and you heard God's voice, but you didn't see any image. Votitzi Va Hashem Baida Hidl, Lamed Etchem Chukim Mishpatim. And at that time, God commanded me to teach you the laws, to teach you how to keep halacha when you move to Eretz Yisrael, the full gamut of Jewish experience. V'nishmartem ba'od l'nafshoteichem, ki lo ri'item kol tmuna. Be very careful, because you didn't see an image. B'yom diber Hashem aleichem b'chorei mitoch ha'esh. When God spoke to you on Har Sinai, in the fire, you didn't see an image of God. So be careful. Pen tashchitun v'asitem lachem pesel tmunat kol sam al tavnit zachar nekeva. Make sure you don't make an image of God, right? Not a male, not a female, nothing. And maybe you'll look up at heavens and you'll see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the celestial bodies and you'll worship them. These powers which God has given to the whole world. But don't do that. Why? Because God has taken you out of Mitzrayim from this melting furnace. To be his nation. Now what does that mean? So, if you look at 12, the Ketav HaKabbalah of Mecklenburg notes on this. He says, Mikora Barzel. What does it mean that Mitzrayim was the Korah Barzel? And how does that connect to this notion that you shouldn't have... Right, you shouldn't make images of God. So he says, "Kur hu kli shemizakim bo adazav." Right, it's the smelting furnace. You purify gold. This was the purpose of Mitzrayim, of the servitude of Mitzrayim. Litzerfam kizahav bikur sheyit pardu hasigim v'yishar zahav tahor levad, to purify us like gold that you take out the impurities. Chalara poshim meitu b'michoshech, right? The sinners died during Choshech, Varach, and Nisharim Nifcharu l'Kabbalah Torah, and only the pure ones were left for Kabbalah Torah. Ki elu harbei Yisrael v'ishpia lehem tovog delot bilti shiabud. If God had just made us great without going through servitude, lo ayam mitratzim l'kabel lehem haTorah zod haoser lehem kolin yanehem sheyu regilim behem. We wouldn't have been ready to accept prohibitions against everything that we accepted. So he says at a very generic level. What was the point? He said, well, there's a lot of laws in Torah. That the average person doesn't just say, oh yeah, I'm totally ready to accept 613 mitzvot. But if God put you through Mitzrayim and you saw how bad things could be, right? You saw what it means to really be a slave, and then God freed you and said, look, I want you to be free, but I'm giving you responsibilities. You have a totally different perspective, right? You don't say, oh, this feels like servitude. You say, I understand what servitude really is, and this is opportunities. This is responsibility, right? I'm a free person. I get to do things that are meaningful. So at a very, just a very generic perspective, the Ketav HaKabbalah says, yeah, that was what the Korah Barzel meant. It meant that the Jews needed to feel what real servitude was like so that they would then realize that the Torah is not servitude. It's an opportunity. But it seems to be a bit more than that. So if you look at 13, this is Robert Alter in his introduction to Dvarim, and introduction to Deuteronomy. He writes as follows. Robert Alter is one of the modern secular literary scholars of Tanakh. So he writes as follows. He says, Israel, because of its unique historical experience from Egypt to Sinai, has been provided, I retyped it so there might be some typos, has been provided with an unprecedented vantage point to see that its imageless God is the God of all things. Fire plays a role both in Egypt and at Sinai. In Egypt, figurative, where the torment of slavery is represented as the iron's forge, Kor HaBarzel, and at Sinai, literally, where the mountain burns with fire to the heart of the heavens and God speaks from the midst of the fire. It's not the image of God, but his incandescent presence that the people of Israel experienced through their history. And the powerful rhetoric of the book is the means that evokes that experience. So Alter argues that it's not just generic, like, oh yeah, you should feel what it's like to be a slave, and therefore you'd want to accept the Torah. So note that there's actually a play in a very specific metaphor, which is fire. Right? You went through the heat of Mitzrayim, right? And then you went to Sinai, right, which is literally engulfed in flames. He said, well, what is the connection? Right, the Torah is connecting them here in Devarim. So he said, why? So he said, because what did you learn in Mitzrayim? Right, what you learned in Mitzrayim was that God acts through history. Right, that you went through an experience and God took you out. He listened to your tefillot. He kept his promise. Right, he promised you would go down, but you would come out and justice would be served. And you would never see an image of God, but you would feel his presence. right? You would feel his presence both there, right? When you were a slave, you called out to God, Venitzak al Hashem, and then he took you out. And then you got to Har Sinai, and there was fire again, right? And you heard his word, and you didn't see an image. It is the experience of God in history, of knowing that God is there for us when things are hard, and he's giving us laws, was supposed to teach us that, yeah, as a nation, the reason we are committed to monotheism is because we know that we don't need to see God to know that there is a God. We need to experience him in history. We need to hear his voice, hear his commands. We need to know that he can save us. We need to respect his will, and then we'll feel his presence even though we don't see him. So in addition to, right, the first point, which is the ethical point, that Mitzrayim is supposed to sensitize us, the experience of going into Mitzrayim and leaving Mitzrayim also got us ready for the Ketav HaKabbalah to accept mitzvot, right? Because if you've been a slave, you can accept anything, right? You can realize the difference between real servitude and then responsibility, which can be onerous, but is, you know, redemptive. And we all know the difference, right? Tedious work, we feel like, right, is just torture. Meaningful work, we're willing to pour hours and hours into things that we really care about. We're willing to volunteer, we're willing to, right? We're willing to, you know, like, sure, I'll have days where I have four or five shiurim, you know, in a day. So then, you know, I'll pour hours into it. But it's, you know, I enjoy teaching Torah. I enjoy learning Torah. So it's meaningful, right? Days that I just have to fill out, you know, I have to get all the paperwork together for my taxes, right? It doesn't feel that way, right? And if I've just spent 4 or 5 hours, you know, going through those details, I'm very happy to sit, you know, with a complicated sugya, right, where, you know, the difference between working out numbers and taxes and working out all my numbers, right, in learning, you know, complicated monetary law in Torah is different because one of them feels like an opportunity, one of them feels like, you know, a chore. So that's, you know, what the Ketav HaKabbalah is saying. That's what Mitzrayim did for us. That may not be enough, right? It may be that you need the ethical component from before as well, but it also did that to us. And Alter adds that it, you know, being able to see God in history was necessary for us to be monotheists. You see it again in number 14. This comes up again when Shlomo builds the Beit HaMikdash. I mean, it makes sense, right? Because if you think about it, right? If Mitzrayim is formative for our experience, so you expect a reference to it at Har Sinai, right? That when you're talking about Har Sinai, if Torah is central to who we are, then Mitzrayim prepared us to accept the Torah and understand who God was at Torah. Another central moment for the Jewish people was when we built the Beit HaMikdash. And if Mitzrayim is the formative moment in our experience, well, it's also going to set the groundwork for the Beit HaMikdash. So that's what you hear in Milachim. Az Yakel Shlomo Zignei Yisrael Kol Rashi Amato Nisiyah Avot Levnei Yisrael Melech Shlomo Yerushalayim La'alot Aron Brit Hashem Meir David Hitzion. Right? So Shlomo gets everybody together to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim. And Az Amar Shlomo Hashem Amar Lishkon Barafel. And Shlomo said, God who lives, who says he lives in the clouds, in the fog, God, I've built you a house forever. And then he turns to the Jewish people and he blesses them. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael asher diber b'fiv et David aviv v'yado milei lemor. Blessed is God, right, who spoke to my father David and gave him, right, and gave him so much. Min hayom asher otzeiti et ami, and now he invokes Mitzrayim. Min hayom asher otzeiti et ami et Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. Lo v'charti v'ir mikol shiftei Yisrael evnot bayit. Right, this is the culmination of the Mitzrayim. Right, since I left Mitzrayim till now, I've never yet picked a city to build a house. Liot shmi sham, that my name should always be there. V'avchar v'David liot alami Yisrael. But then I chose David. Vata Elohei Yisrael yamain nad varecha asher dibart alav decha David avi. So Shlomo says, listen, God, please keep what you said to David. Ki omnam yeshev elokim al aretz. You think God can really live on earth? The heaven and the heavens of the heavens could not contain you. Neither can this house that I built for you. But despite that, right? Despite the fact that the Beit HaMikdash can't really contain you, still, listen to our prayers and come. Right, and come, v'salach talam chasher chatulach, forgive your people, chol pishem asher pashu bachun etazim l'rachamim lifnei shavehem v'richamum. Right, forgive all their sins and have mercy on them. Ki amcha v'nachatcha heim, because they are your nation, they are your inheritance. Asher tzeitam Yitzrayim mitoch gur ha-barzel. You're the ones who took, right? You're the one who took them out of the furnace. Liot einecha p'tuchot el tchinat avdecha v'el tchinat amcha Yisrael l'shmo lehem b'chol karam eilecha. You did it so that you would listen to them. So you would pay attention to us. Ki atah hivdalt v'chol nachalom mikol amei ha-aretz kasher dibart av'yad Moshe avdecha v'ot yachad evotenu Yitzrayim ani Hashem. So here, again, you see that Mitzrayim had to be, right, formative, because it's being invoked. This notion of Kor Barzel is being invoked, again, when he builds the Beit HaMikdash. He says, right, at each milestone that the Jews reach, whether it be Matan Torah or now the Beit HaMikdash, you invoke Mitzrayim because you say, yeah, you took out of Mitzrayim for a purpose, right? Remember, you took us out for a purpose. So now, what was that purpose? That you would dwell among us. So now dwell among us, right? We've reached the next stage. You've picked the Beit HaMikdash, so come down. And even though, and this comes back to Alter's point, even though we know, because we experienced you in Mitzrayim, we know that to see God, right, he can't really fit in this house, right? Shmayim v'shmei shaman lo yichal kalucha. We can't contain you in this house. We know you're the God of history, right? But because we've experienced you, we can say, kivyachal, live in this house. Right, if we hadn't been through Mitzrayim, we didn't know what it meant to have a relationship with God who can't be seen, but really know he's there, we couldn't build you a house and it not be idolatrous. But because you took us out of Egypt, and we understand who you are, and we really do get that you don't really live in this house, ironically, because we understand you don't live in this house, so live in this house, right? Your goal of taking us out of Mitzrayim was so that we could get here, right? And now, because of our experience in Mitzrayim, we understand what it means to have a relationship with you. So, follow up on that. You get it again in Yirmiyahu in 15. Right? Hadavar hasher yel Yirmiyahu meid Hashem lemor. Shemu et divrei abrit hazod v'divartem al yish Yehuda. V'al yoshvei Yerushalayim. V'amarta lehem ko amar Hashem elokei Yisrael. Arura yish asher yishma divrei abrit hazod. Again, Yirmiyahu is reforging a covenant with the Jewish people. And he says, Asher tziviti rabotechem, right, reforge the following brit. Asher tziviti rabotechem b'yom otziyah otam eretz Mitzrayim, mikor barzel, when I took you out of Mitzrayim, out of the furnace, lemor. Shemu v'koli v'atzitem otam k'chol asher atzavetchem, yitem li la'am v'nochi ehyeh lachem li Elohim. I took you out of Mitzrayim so that, listen to my voice and do everything I tell you. L'man hakim et ha'shvua, asher nishbati l'avotichem, v'atid lahem eretz tzavat chalav udvash, kayom hazeh, v'an v'omar amen Hashem. And he said, why did I take you out of the Kor Barzel? To give you Israel. And they say, Amen. So what do you see again, right? This notion of the Kor Barzel is invoked when they get the Torah, when they get Israel, or reforge their bread in Israel, and when they get when they build the Beit HaMikdash. Because the point is the same. Mitzrayim was fundamental to who we are as a nation. And every milestone that the Jews reach, we go back to Mitzrayim, because that's who we are. That's what makes us ethical. That's what makes us understand what it means to have God in history and not need a physical structure of God. Because we realize, yeah, the way we knew God took us out of Mitzrayim is he took it out of Mitzrayim. We saw his presence, not his image. And in each milestone, we invoke the memory of Mitzrayim. And you get it again in Yeshayahu 16, in number 16. L'man shimcha arich api utilati echatam lach l'ulti hachritach. So here it doesn't say Kor Barzel, but he says, I've purified you, right, in the Kor Oni, in the furnace of oppression. Lemani, lemani, eseki, ech yechel kvodi lacher lo etain, shmai la Yaakov, Israel, mikrai, ani hu, ani rishon, ani afacharon, af yadi, yasta eret, natzipcha shamayim, kare, ani elehem, yamdu yachlav, right? So I'll save you for my sake. Right, and you see this notion again that every time, right, this is not the Kor Barzel, but this notion of the Kor is that you went through the experience for a reason, but I'll take you out for a reason, right, and that's just as important, right? Going in is important and coming out is important. So just to summarize, you know, so what we've seen so far is that, right, Mitzrayim wasn't just, you know, we happened to go to Mitzrayim. Was to be the Jewish people, we needed to go through the experience of Mitzrayim. That's why we invoke it at every critical moment when we're talking about getting Eretz Yisrael, when we're talking about getting the Torah, when we're talking about building Beit HaMikdash, because we couldn't be the Jewish people if we hadn't gone through Mitzrayim. Why? Because it taught us to be ethical, and not just ethical, I understand you're a human being, I treat you right, but it taught us to really have empathy, right? To be able to think about people who are in unfortunate situations and really think in advance and go above what might be absolutely necessary. It taught us that God exists in history, and we can see God in history. And we don't need to see an image of God. Right? It teaches theological lessons. And that's right. That's why Mitzrayim. That's why going to Mitzrayim was critical. We actually had to go. It wouldn't have been enough if we'd just been born, right, with everything being good. There's a particularly powerful, this sentiment is captured powerfully. Look in 18. So Nechama Leibovitz has this in her footnote. I couldn't find the actual book. I couldn't get my hands on it. But she quotes this from Chaim Chazaz, which is a writer in Israel, from book called a story called A Murky Barrel, or a Chavit Achura. I don't remember. He says, everything positive that the nations possess, they have taken over from Israel, except the element of exile. Exile is not just one long tale of decline and fall, but one of heroism. Not just one of ugliness and disgrace, but of glory and credit. Not just one of humiliation and slavery, but freedom, generous and inspiring, unparalleled in human history. Exile is an experience that stands on equal footing with the revelation at Sinai and the settlement of the Promised Land, as we saw in Yirmiyahu and in Dvarim. But for it, Israel would have been reduced to the dead level of all the nations, like any other people that have nothing else but a country and a government, wrapped up in their four cubits of mundane, time-killing existence and lowest common culture. What they need is exile, not revolutions, international, or League of Nations, but exile, plain and simple, that will refine, purify, and teach them to understand the meaning of the universe, of man, of fellowship, compassion, truth, and justice. No, there is no hope for them till they go down into exile, trudge from place to place, and savor the tribulations of persecution, and turn their attention to the Torah they carry with them. And he says very powerfully, he said, yeah, we learned something else, right? First of all, it's necessary for compassion, and right? But there's something else, and I think, right, you don't see it in the earlier sources, but I think he's right. It taught us that we could be a nation even without a land, right? We're the only nation in the world that really has an ethnicity, right, in Galus for thousands of years, because we started as a nation without a land. We started as slaves, right? The nation came later. So part of Mitzrayim, part of starting in oppression, was that we could be able to say, yeah, we have an identity that transcends statehood, that transcends power, that transcends the ability of an identity. We can have meaning even when, right, there's no meaning to be found. Or that's something else we learned from the experience of Mitzrayim. Now, Reb Lichtenstein notes that he adds to this. He says, first of all, the Gemara says that there's three qualities that define Jews as Jews. Rachmanim, Baishanim, V'gomlei Chasadim, right? Merciful, Baishanim, right? Shamefaced, but meaning not arrogant, right? And kind. So he said, first of all, that's, right, where did we get that from? How did the Chazal know that those are our qualities? Because that's what we learned at Mitzrayim, right? We had to go to the Mitzrayim to become Rachmanim, Baishanim, V'gomlei Chasadim, to become truly kind and truly compassionate and really be, right, and have humility. We needed to go through hard times, right? That helps you develop empathy, that helps you not be arrogant, right? That helps you understand things. Then he adds two other things. It also helps create solidarity, right? He thinks Kura Barzel wasn't just necessary because of what you learn from pain, but the way you become a group when you've all suffered together is different than when you all triumph together, right? If you make it through something hard together, we all know that, right, people's best friends are the people they got through hard times together with. Right, so we said, that's another element to Korah Barzal. We had to become a nation in, you know, the closest of ways. And right there, that creates solidarity and social cohesion. And also, Chazaz hints at, once you've gone through suffering once, you can last through it again better. Right, Korah Barzal, right, when you purify iron, it comes out stronger. Right, you take out all the impurities, in the future it can, right, handle more. It can handle more, right, you know, it's just better quality. So Mitzrayim was necessary to create us as a nation, so we would have cohesion, we have solidarity, so we would have sensitivity and empathy, and that we would understand that God functions through history, and that we would understand that we have meaning in the world, even when things are hard, and even when we don't have a country. And all those things we can only learn by being created as a nation only in Mitzrayim, not in the glory of Eretz Yisrael. And that's why we invoke that memory at every critical stage to remind us who we are as a nation by going back to those formative moments. The last thing that I'll note is not actually about the Kura Barzel, but it's at a different Kur. In Malachi, we find not the Kura Barzel, but the Kura of silver, right? That God, we're compared to God purifying us as a silversmith, purges it. Now, this is not fully the image. What? Yeah, we incorporate it, right, in Yom Kippur, because it's a, you know, we incubate it in one of the piyutim at night, and then we say it again, right? But what does that mean, right? So this, I don't think, is true of the Korah Barazel, but I think it's an important idea in this context anyways, right? So this is something I found when I was, I don't know, I was in high school. Someone handed it out in shul at some point, but I Googled it, and you find it all whenever you, you know, wherever you look online, you'll find it, which is, what does it mean, silver purification, right? What does that mean that we, you know, God puts us in fire? I don't know if it's true about iron, but it's true about silver. It may also be true about iron. So I gave you the story here in 17, right? There was a group of women in a Bible study group on the book of Malachi, right? So they got across this image and said that God purifies us like silver in a smelting iron. Okay, so he said, so at some point, one of the women said, well, what does that mean? Right? What does it mean that God holds us in the fire? So she decided that she would call up a silversmith and said, what does it mean? How do you purify metal? How do you purify silver in it? So she went and she watched it, and he's holding it up in the fire. And he says, well, you need to take out the, you know, you put it in the fire to get at all the impurities. So the woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. And then she thought again about the verse that he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. So right, the first level was that, and this, I think, is true of the Korah Barazel, but yeah, God is doing this to purify us. Sorry, that's the Korah Barazel, to purify us, to help us. Okay. But then she asked the silversmith that it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. But then she adds a level. She said, okay, but how do you do it? You have to sit there, right, to make sure that it's not too hot, that it doesn't get ruined. He said, yeah. Right? He said, yes. And he not only had to sit there holding the silver, he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire, right, to make sure it doesn't go too much. For if the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it could be destroyed. So that, I think, is also part of it, right? God is doing this to purify us. But the second thing is that the person who's purifying metal has to be aware of it. It's not just that he threw us in and then 400 years later, you know, or 210 years later, came and took us out. It's that it means that God was with us even in the hard times. If this was necessary, and the image he uses is of purifying metal, well, part of that means that God didn't just throw us there because the experience was helpful, but he was there with us, making sure that as soon as it was time to leave, we left, which is, I think, is a powerful element. And then the third one is the kicker to it, right? The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, and how do you know when the silver is fully refined? He smiled at her and answered, oh, that's the easy part. When I see my image reflected in it, right? When it's really pure, right, it becomes reflective like metal, right? So it's a vort, but it's, I think, a nice vort, right? That Mitzrayim was necessary for our experience, for all the reasons we've discussed. But we shouldn't forget that part of that means, A, that God was with us the whole time, waiting, making sure we learned the lessons, and not leaving us too long arbitrarily. It means he was with us even when things were hard, right? And the last one, right, is just nice, is that how do you know you're ready? You're ready, right, when you're the type of person that you see God's image in him, right? Which, even if it's just a vort, I think is true, right? That the fact that to be Jewish, to be Rachmanim Baishan Gomel Chassadim, the reason that that's important is because we're supposed to be godly, right? And if, when God looks at us and sees his image in us, then he knows we've learned the lessons of Mitzrayim and we're the nation that we started being then, and they've really reached our potential. So again, even if that's a drash, I think it's shot in the goal of Mitzrayim, even if not in this particular image.